I'm Frank Vaughn. It's April 16th, 2024, and I often treat these intros as a bit of a throwaway. They're important, but I don't vet the anecdotal introductions that I do. And I made a mistake yesterday talking about litter boxes in schools. I repeated something that a former voter and supporter told me about a school in Belleville, and I didn't verify it. And that's on me, which is why I edited the video and I removed it. But the anecdote that I was sharing is still very much a part of reality, and I'm going to reshare it here, and this is for the benefit of Robert, one of the critics that got offended in the comments because of that anecdote. Robert, I got 120 videos on my channel full of facts and references, all of which are backed up by facts. You picked one segment of one video and decided to start spamming the channel about me being fake news and that the entire channel was fake. Let me tell you something, Robert, because your recommendation was that I've been in the bush too long and I should get out there into the world. Let me tell you about your world. I'll speak to what I know. My children, this is the anecdote, were watching Homeward Bound. And they started running around acting like dogs, playing in the yard and having a good time, just being innocent little kids. There are, in fact, right here in Saskatchewan, schools that promote this behavior at the high school level and say that the students that are identifying as dogs are protected. They're a protected class. If kids make fun of them in any way, they get suspended. I know of this personally. This is something that I verified myself. It's happening here. You think I need to go out into the world. Buddy, the NDP in this province has an MPP sitting in the legislature today, raising two healthy elementary school-aged boys as girls. It's officially part of the NDP policy. Down in Regina, and this is, again, something I've personally verified, they bring transgenders into the schools that are pregnant, LARPing around as men that are pregnant, and throw that in front of the kids for their consumption. There are MLAs right now in this province that have no problem taking little kids to drag shows. That's happening right here. The same gender madness that I left Ontario in part to get away from is here right now. That's a fact. Do you know, Robert, what Fish Tank is? It's this reality show that's on the internet. Maybe you need to get outside of your bubble, bud. In that reality show, the last two seasons, they've had these furries in there with litter boxes for them to play in. Now, I don't know if they're openly defecating in those litter boxes, but the normalization of this behavior is well advanced. Do you know what Twitch is, Robert? I bet you don't. It's a streaming platform. There's a whole cohort of people who use that platform, who follow people who are dedicated to this nonsense known as furries. It goes beyond teaching your kids that they can change sexes as easy as clothing. We're now into trans species stuff. So yeah, the litter box stuff was a mistake. But it was a throwaway anecdote. I corrected it and fixed it. Does that actually mean that everything that I do on my channel is dishonest? That I'm trying to deceive people? Like you said? Give your head a check, bud. I don't know who you think you are. Maybe you're upset that I'm pointing out the flaws in your chosen profession, which is teaching. You got problems in that profession that you need to face up to. Because Saskatchewan is one of the last places where the majority of school board trustees don't subscribe to this nonsense. The battle has been lost in BC. The battle has been lost in Ontario. And there are thousands of children in this country right now, Robert, that have been sterilized through these cross-sex hormones, which are doled out like medicine. They talk about a ban on conversion therapy. The ban is on telling kids that they're okay in the bodies that they were born in, that they're healthy the way they are. What they call conversion therapy in this case is actually a ban on telling a boy that he's not a girl. If he says he's a girl, you're supposed to just reaffirm that. You're supposed to take him down the road of counseling. Start him on the cross-sex hormones. Thousands of kids, a lot of them in foster care, a lot of them with prior mental illnesses. This is like 10 times higher as a cohort among the mentally ill. It's like they're targeted to advance this ideology, and that's what it is. It has no basis in biological reality. This is a threat to every single parent that has little kids. And you can stick your head in your sand all you want, but the facts remain. It's here, it's real, and maybe you should get outside of your bubble. And further to the conversation about furries and trans everything, this is a monumental day. This broke after I finished recording this video, actually. So this is an insertion, and hopefully it doesn't make the video too disjointed. UK Supreme Court rules a trans woman is not a woman. Hallelujah. Biological reality making a comeback, and we're just going to go to J.K. Rowling. It took three extraordinary, tenacious Scottish women, real women, with an army behind them to get this case heard by the Supreme Court. And in winning, they've protected the rights of women and girls across the UK. Because there is no place for men in a girls' change room. There is no place for men in women's sports. There are certain areas where the separation of the sexes is actually protective of the interests of both. A man deciding that he is a woman one day versus being a man the day before is not real. And anybody advising you that you should embrace that is sick in the head. We shouldn't be teaching our kids that this is normal behavior either. It is, by definition, abnormal. The vast majority of people, 99.3%, I believe the statistic actually is, off the top of my head, maybe it's not entirely precise, identify as either male or female. But it's not about identity. And it never was about identity. Gender should never have been separated from sex. Or, conversely, gender roles should never have been examined as defining your sexual reality. My wife, when I met her, hard-working woman, beautiful, but she liked wearing her Carhartts. She likes getting dirty. And when we worked the farm, her hands were just as calloused as mine. Didn't make her a lick less a woman, didn't make her a lick less feminine. She still turned to silk in my hands. And there's aspects of my personality. Many of my critics will point them out. They'll say that I'm feminine because of the way I talk about things or because of the long hair, or whatever you want to say. I love my kids. I love them very tenderly and openly. I often kiss them on the forehead. I give them hugs. Some would argue that's not masculine. You can go to hell. I love my children. I don't mind the softer things in life. I like being comfortable. I enjoy blankets. I enjoy curling up on the couch with a book. I'm still a man. Every bit a man. I was born this way and I'll die this way, and there's nothing that can change it in between. But back to the point. This is an absolutely wonderful decision. And I hope we can restore some sense. Look, if you're an adult and you want to do some crazy things and whatever, that's fine. But stop trying to shove it down the rest of our throats. Just because you act a certain way doesn't make it real. And there should never be a law on the books that forces us to acknowledge your state of unreality as real. This is a great day. And with that being said and the correction issued, I would like to leave my kids to play innocently and wander around in their imaginings. But in no way, shape, or form am I going to tell them that their imaginary friends are real. That when they start pretending that they're dogs, that they can be a dog. That a boy can be a girl or a girl can be a boy. And I don't care how many laws are passed that say that I can't do that. I'm going to keep doing it. You can destroy my life and you can jail me. I don't even care. I will never subscribe to this biological unreality, this gender madness, this unicorn. It's disgusting. It's a sin against humanity. It's a crime against children. Moving on, let's listen to Mark Carney talk.
President Trump is trying to fundamentally restructure the international trading system. In the process, he's rupturing the global economy. And that 80-year period when the United States embraced the mantle of global economic leadership, when it forged alliances rooted in trust and mutual respect, and championed the free and open exchange of goods and services and ideas, is over.
So once again, he's repeating this notion that the old order is over and painting the United States as the bad guys. He wrote a book in 2021, which I am working my way through. I don't even know why I'm reading this book. I don't even know why I'm going to do a review. Mark Carney's public stances, his record as a central banker, should stand out larger than life to anybody. You shouldn't need anything else to understand that this parachuted liberal leader, this guy who didn't even identify as a Canadian, identified as a European, has lived outside the country, lived in New York, ran two central banks, ran Brookfield, is proud in his book of establishing an organization dedicated to net zero with $140 trillion behind it. $140 trillion with a T. That's his words, not mine, in his book. I don't even know why it's necessary, but I am going to try and complete it anyway. I'm trying to press on with it. It's actually not a bad read, and it's very insightful as to where this man's going to take us. In that book, he talks about how the old global order is fading away, how the world is going to become a multipolar world. But in this campaign, in order to deceive the Canadian public, he's blaming Trump for that process, which he identified in 2021 when Trump wasn't even around. It's an interesting thing. Supporters of the 51st state often come up with this notion. What do you do if Canada becomes the 51st state? And this is all hypothetical. What do you do when the Republicans lose control of the House and of the Senate and of the presidency and the Democrats come back in office? And there's a lot of different responses. But this cuts the other way as well. Mark Carney's acting like Trump is forever. He's acting like this notion, this orange man bad movement is going to last longer than one administration. It may or it may not. But he is pretending that he himself, in his book, counting on you not to read it, hasn't already identified the fact that the hegemonic order is over and we are entering into a multipolar world. What Trump is doing is activating a process that Mark Carney himself has already identified as necessary. This is the duplicity of this man, which I've been highlighting in my videos. He talks about building Canada. He's standing in front of a sign that says Canada Strong. He talks about making Canada an energy powerhouse. He leaves out the word green energy. At the same time, he says he will not repeal C-69, the anti-pipeline bill, and he's not in a hurry to build out pipeline capacity. You can't have one and the other at the same time. You can't suck and blow. But he is counting on the ignorance of the Canadian public to keep him in office, this irrational fear of Pierre Poilievre and Donald Trump. He's not telling you the truth. He is playing on your ignorance. And to some degree, it's working. Moving on to something that is very much related, there was an incredibly important court decision that came down yesterday that you won't read about in the mainstream news. Should be front page news, but it's not. This is from the CCFR, the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights. Often when I cite the CCFR, people will say there are no firearms rights in Canada, and I say that's why the word for is there. Anyway, today we received the decision out of the Federal Court of Appeal on our long fight against the gun ban. It's bad news for Canadians for multiple reasons. It is the opinion of the judges that the protections in the criminal code to prevent the governor and council from banning guns that are legitimate for hunting and sporting use are irrelevant. Section 56 of the decision illustrates that the protection provision is subject to the whim of the governor and council, who can change their mind at any time. The decision is clear. The courts will not constrain the government's overreach on this issue. This has negative implications on many aspects of the legal and legislative system in Canada. Our legal team will be reviewing the decision in depth over the next while to advise on next steps. Now, I imagine the next step would be an appeal to the Supreme Court. It might be worthwhile, though it will be expensive. This case has not been cheap for the CCFR, but it's been an important one. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands what the governor and council is. In the Canadian legal and governmental framework, the governor in council is the governor general, acting on the advice and with the consent of the King's Privy Council. It's either every member of parliament or every minister is sworn to the Privy Council. Anybody that's ever served as a minister, because You elect your government. Sorry, no, you don't. You elect your parliament, and your parliament appoints the government. You do not elect your government. It's an important distinction. But they're sworn to the Privy Council. The Governor General is an appointed position. We don't elect it here in Canada. The Prime Minister can walk across the lawn and talk to the Governor General and ask them to sign what's called an order in council, which is what these gun bans, many of them, are based on. Now, C-21 is a piece of legislation that actually advanced its way through the House and the Senate and did all the things and was signed into law by the Governor General. But the orders in councils are just dictatorial edicts that rendered, 1 minute, property that was legitimately yours prohibited. So if you happen to be at a range the second that signature was affixed to that order in council, 1 minute you were a lawful, law-abiding gun owner, and the next minute you were a criminal. And that's how it is. So what this court case does is it didn't just examine guns. It's not just about gun rights. It's not just about the ownership of your firearms. It's about the ownership of any single property. That's the implication. If the government of the day decides that your so-called private property must be seized by the state, must be banned, regardless of what it is, the courts have found that they are justified in doing so. Property rights were kept out of our repatriated constitution and our charter at the request of the NDP in the early 1980s. We're going to go over that next. But this reaffirms that you don't have property rights. If the government wants your house, they can take it. If the government wants to ban your car, they can do so. Any piece of property that you think you own is subject to the approval of one person, not your prime minister, not your ministers, the governor in council. Now you might say the governor general's position is ceremonial, largely. Seems there's an awful lot of power concentrated in the hands of the governor general, and maybe they obey the whims of your government, but you don't even elect your government. You elect parliament. That's how backwards this system is. There are people who say that I don't know how the system works, but I do know how the system works. What I try to highlight is the system sucks. It is terrible. In 2025, for this to be the best that we can do, and every single politician across the spectrum doesn't want to touch our system, doesn't want to change it, doesn't want to fix it, doesn't want to change the lifetime appointed senators and the judiciary, which we have no recourse if it goes rogue. Your parliamentarians, if they don't keep your promises, you have no legal recourse to pull them down or do anything. You can't sue them. That's already been tried, and it failed. You have no right of recall. You have no citizen-led initiatives that have any power. You have no ballot initiatives. Your government is appointed. And in the end, all power channels through the governor general. So anyway, the court case finds that this is perfectly okay and legal. And it means that you have no personal property. You have privileged possession at best. After briefly refreshing my memory, it is indeed just the cabinet ministers who are sworn to the Privy Council. There are certain other senior officials, but it is possible to be an MP and never be sworn to the council. Anybody that is referred to by the title honorable is part of the Privy Council. In practice, only existing cabinet ministers that are serving in the current government advise the governor general. But it is crazy to me that at the end of the day, the head of state is not the prime minister. It is the king's representative, the governor general, and a lot of power is fixated on their signature. And you have no power as a citizen over them. Canada sucks. The Federation sucks. I don't know why so many people have been loyal to it for so long. Do people really need kings, especially the king that we have in 2025? Back to this point, I just want to read through a few user comments. E. Sharp says, discretionary, in quotes, rights and privileges, that's all we have. Truth. People need to understand that. Because the Charter, Section 1, says that all of your human rights are not fundamental. They are subject to government approval. And when the government suspends the charter to violate your human rights, whether it's seizing bank accounts, throwing people in jail, breaking up protests, and they go to court because they used an Emergencies Act, which requires them to go through a process, maybe not court, but go through a process similar to, that reviews their actions after they happened. And that process finds that the government acted illegally, nothing happens to the government. So in effect, Section 1 has been proven by the courts and by the precedent that it supersedes all of your human rights. And even when the government is wrong to take them away, they are free from accountability. And it even shows in the polls. There's a whole cohort of Canada, a big segment of the population that is more than okay with having no fundamental human rights. That's Canada. It is terrible. Liberty Tree says there comes a time when you know the entire system is corrupt, that you don't provide them more opportunities to take your rights by fighting long shot cases in court. Canadians are still unable to grasp that you can't fight totalitarianism through the corrupt courts. I got to push back and disagree with that. I think you need to fight it on multiple fronts. I think what the CCFR has done here is part of the process of revealing that the emperor has no clothes. The only way to change Canada is for the public to actually wake up to what we are. And things like what the CCFR is doing is revealing that. Now, I think a strong conservative government, as I've said before, would help paint that picture because they would come up against a Senate that has been entirely appointed by Justin Trudeau and the ministers that still serve under Mark Carney, our currently unelected prime minister. I mean, there's a lot of talk, and I've done it, about Mark Carney being unelected and about the farce that made him leader of the Liberal Party. But the fact is, even he sits under the Governor General. There's something wrong with Canada. Fortis et libre, Alberta strong and free. Unfortunately, my understanding of it was protection of property was left out of the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Rights, the Charter, because the NDP asked the Liberals to leave it out. From time to leave, Canada cannot be fixed by Michael Wagner. And this is just an excerpt. Issues at, and the Canadian Bar Association also supported them. However, the New Democratic Party was strongly opposed to property rights and would not support Trudeau's proposals unless they were excluded. So in short, Trudeau catered to the NDP's demands to get that party's support. As Newman and Binion put it, property rights were sacrificed so the rest of the Charter and the Constitution could move forward, making apparent that property rights had not been central to Trudeau's vision of the Charter, even if he would have supported them. They point out that Trudeau was willing to bargain away property rights, something he would not have done with the other rights provisions. Unsurprisingly, with his leftist ideological bent, Pierre Trudeau had no qualms about entrenching a document that excluded property rights. Bulldog, who we're going to go to next, says the NDP never held office and destroyed the nation so a Liberal could have his vanity moment. Human and civil rights are not worthwhile without property rights. You will have nothing and be happy. Just took a sudden new definition. Isn't it interesting that the NDP, under Trudeau the Elder, were able to exert this influence to make sure that Canada was a fully fledged socialist state at its birth, which wasn't 150 years ago. This nation, as it is construed, was born in 1982. There's a lot of people who talk about sovereignty. You already lost it 40 years ago. It was taken from you. Your flag was taken from you. Your identity, your heritage, it was already taken from you. You didn't even get to vote on it, which is typical of Canada. Back to Bulldog for a moment. He says, I rewatched your Flag Day video today, and that we have officially no property rights now. So not only was this new country forced upon us, we lost all property rights as well. We became a socialist state April 17th, 1982. We live in a lie. We need Canada to fail, and soon. It's hard to disagree with anything there. The Federation itself is a totalitarian construct. The farcical thing that we go through, known as elections, are just that. It's a mechanism to make you as a citizen feel like you have some kind of empowerment. But in reality, when you vote for political parties with no expectation that they will keep their word to you, with no right of recall and no ability of your own to advance policy, to get ballot initiatives, to do anything real. When that parliament that you elect appoints the actual government that wields the power. Parliamentarians are lawmakers. So they introduce the bills that the government recommends, and then they either pass them or they turn them down. There's this party functionary called the whip. And its function is to keep the party in line and to do the leader's will. You have to hope that the leader is a good leader. You have to hope that the leader is well-intended and actually delivers what they say they will deliver to you. One of the things I'll give Mark Carney credit to is he doesn't make any qualms about trying to appear honest. He is convinced that you're stupid and that it doesn't matter if he says one thing one way one day and says something else, not even the next day. This guy says one thing one minute. When the cameras turn off, he says something else. His whole campaign that he's running right now exists in defiance of every public policy statement he's made for the last 10 years. Lives in defiance of the book that he wrote. Net zero is his life. Now they want to pretend that they're anti-carbon tax? Carney's only criticism of the carbon tax was it wasn't high enough, that it wasn't effective enough, that it wasn't advancing net zero fast enough. He wants the oil to stay in the ground. He wants the natural gas to stay in the ground. He wants to put Saskatchewan and Alberta out of business. He wants to go to war with the United States via this trade war. He basically wants to end any concept of economic sovereignty for Canada, and he's doing it under the banner of protecting sovereignty. People need to understand more than any other thing that the citizens of this nation have been robbed in so many ways. It's like an onion peeling back the layers. On this channel, we've talked about how Quebec, the volunteer participant in the Federation, never affixing their signature, has taken advantage of the entire concept of the nation. That the two referendums that were held on independence were exercises in blackmail, extortion, a vain public relations exercise that cost everybody a ton of money. The provinces are supposed to be sovereign. And I think it's time every single province in this federation, or at least if not every single province, the provinces of Western Canada reclaim that sovereignty. Alberta and Saskatchewan have made some inroads towards doing that. And if Mark Carney does win, God forbid, that should accelerate full steam ahead. We must consider other options. Even absent that, it's long past time. Someone in this nation talked about opening up the Constitution, putting property rights in, which you don't have. And the CCFR court case is revealing how weak your hold on your material possessions, which you work so hard for. You struggle. I was talking to a guy just the other day. He makes $120,000 a year. $40,000 of that is lost to taxes. And there are those who will pick away at that number too. They'll say that a large chunk of that is actually CPP. Well, folks, it's been established, a clear record that the CPP is a tax. Even though liberals and certain socialists and people who love this country will deny it, it's an established fact, it's a tax. $40,000 is lost. In addition to that, at that wage bracket, all the subsidies go away. So the GST rebates, the carbon tax rebates, the if you have kids, the CCB, it's all gone. So past a certain income threshold, you're literally just working to replace the socialism that you would benefit from if you just stayed poorer. It's getting to a point now where the tax burden's so high that it's almost not worth making more money. Isn't that sad? And after you're done struggling, working, skimping, and saving, criminality runs loose in your country to the point where money laundering is so extensive and mass immigration is so ensconced in public policy that you can't afford to live anywhere. And after you're done struggling and they take so much out of you, you're not even entitled to the things that you buy. Now, in practice, I understand that it is not good policy for the government to just come along and sign away your property rights on everything. But they can. And that's the point. It's kind of like banks. If you read the agreement known as your mortgage, you'll find in there that they do have a right to call that mortgage if they're so inclined before the term expires. There's all kinds of outs built into those contracts for the banks. And what choice do you have but to sign? Most of us will never have $500,000 or $1 million to just buy a home outright cash. How are you ever going to get there? The government will take it all before you get it. So you need to sign these notes and pay interest for 10, 20, 30 years, 10 years if you're lucky. You work really hard and pay it off in advance, which is what you should do. In practice, it doesn't make any sense for the banks to call those mortgages. They don't want to, but they retain the right. It's the same with the government. They retain the right to, at the stroke of an unelected official's pen, to seize your property. The big truth is this country is a very expensive, backwards place. It fundamentally needs to shake to its foundations. And if there are certain provinces, mainly Ontario and Quebec, who are loyal to this notion of the Federation, good for them. They can keep it. Regardless of who wins the election, but particularly if it's Carney, Western Canada has to consider, in one form or another, leaving this thing behind. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.